Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
You guys know Sierra got married last year. It's a lot of work.
Oh boy, was it.
It's a lot to do. And one thing that really helped her figure out what to do first, where to access certain resources, how to get people to know where they were supposed to go for a wedding, Zola.
With Zola, you can discover venues and find vendors easily. You can message and book vendors right on their website. And truly, when I say that that was the first part that we had to do and also one of the most intimidating and hardest, it's so nice to just have them all listed right there and be able to talk to them right there and then.
They also have free planning tools, which is really helpful because you don't know what you don't know. And if when you go to Zola, you have a guest list manager, wedding website templates, a budgeting tool, because dang, can a wedding get out of hand real quick?
Mm-hmm.
It could all eliminate so much stress and you'll save so much time, all because it's like a one-stop shop.
That's so true. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch.
Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Hey guys,
I'm Jerry.
I'm Sierra.
We're ladies
and we tangent.
Yeah, but every time I take a drink, it's very clear that this much of it is tequila. Mm-mm. Well, there is a lot of ice in here, but have you seen those TikToks that are like, take a shot and don't make a face? I would not be able to do it. I
fucking love those. Those are so funny. Those are some of my favorite TikToks. Or the ones where they have like 5 shots of water and then 1 shot of tequila. And everybody takes it and you have to try to see.
That's so like the salt game.
Yeah. So you poker face and it's like one person. Like,
oh, it would not even be a game. I would just be like.
Yeah.
The bird's so good. Okay. So how about, remember, that we went to high school together.
Yeah.
I don't know how I thought I was going to set that up, tee that up, if you will. But one of our former teachers messaged me today and they were like, hey, I don't know if I've been living under a rock, but I just found out about your podcast. Hilarious. Listened to it this morning. And I was like,
uh-oh.
I didn't know what episode they listened to. So I was just like replaying every episode we have ever had. And I'm like, is it the one where Sierra talks about seeing a teacher's boobs in the ocean?
Oh.
Is it the one where I talk about shitting myself at homecoming? Is it the one where I talk about shitting in a closet? Is it the one where,
oh my God,
where I talk about O faces?
Was it that teacher that I saw her boobs?
No, different gym teacher.
Oh, but it was the other woman one?
What?
Was it the other woman teacher?
Her name's Gary on Facebook, but that's not her real name.
What?
Yeah.
You'll have to tell me later who she is.
Anyway, but I told her, I said, oh, can't wait till you get to the episode where I shit myself at homecoming. And she's like, how did I not know you shit yourself at homecoming? And I was like, it didn't stop me from going to the dance. So you probably saw me having a good time, completely unaware that I had doo-doo pants on.
Oh, no.
She's going to hear me talk about how I thought that they were going to run my DNA and that's why I still wore the underwear and didn't throw away.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
It's so funny because people will say things. By the way, everybody, I understand that I said that I would name my baby Gail. I don't remember saying
Someone just messaged us today and was like, you were sloshed on White Claws, but you did say that you were going to name your baby Gail. And do you know why?
Why?
I'm 99%
sure. Did you listen back to it? Because I was like, why the fuck? What would promote me to say that?
Well, I can only remember one story that has a Gail in it. And I think it was from our work stories episode where I talked about working at Kohl's and Gail from Houseware flashed everybody during Christmas. And I think that's when you were like, I'll name my baby Gail. That sounds delightful.
I gotta stop drinking. Well, I mean, I have. What if I was like, I am hammered right now?
This is also tequila.
It's weird.
People keep saying, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I should have just like mixed this better. I'm trying not. No, I keep forgetting how poorly it's mixed. Yeah. Anyway. People keep talking about how they can't tell us apart.
Oh.
And, or they'll like tag you in something, but I said it, or tag me in and it was you. But I have listened back to a couple episodes from like when people were referencing Gail or whatever else. People keep bringing up the Bebo story. So I went back and listened to that one.
Love that one.
And we finish each other's sentences and then pretend to be each other.
That is true.
So I'm not shocked that people can't tell.
Yeah, it is difficult.
Yeah.
We also talk at the same time quite often.
Yeah.
So it's like, who's who?
Do your best, people. Yeah. There's no quiz, so it doesn't matter.
Sorry.
But we will judge you if you get it wrong.
Honestly, I put you on a list.
We know. We know who you are.
Speaking of a list, our Ladies and Fangents page. I need to say this because I feel really bad. I've accidentally declined like 3 people.
You have?
I don't mean to. At the very bottom where it says approval, the button is right below the last person.
You do
person.
It when you're like half asleep.
I do. That's true. I also had a bad fever today.
Yes.
So the button is like, it says decline for the last person. And then below that is approve all. Mm. So I go to hit approve all and I'll hit and it's like, so-and-so has been declined. And then they're gone. I can't go back. I've tried to go back and message.
Like, I'm so sorry. Like, we come to our party.
Honestly, I'm sorry. So if that's you, try it again. I truly wasn't being malicious. I just have fat thumbs.
Sierra's not good at technology.
No, I'm not. Or doing anything when I've just woken up, which is about at 3 p.m.
Yeah.
When most of you try to get on there.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry.
So you're fully vaccinated.
That's why I had a fever.
Yes.
No, but I want to say, I got fully vaccinated yesterday and I was really expecting, because I didn't have a great reaction the first time. Mm-hmm. Mostly it just felt like flu stuff, but it lasted for like way longer.
I'm sorry. I really tried to hold it that time.
I think that was funny because you glinted. You swooned me. Your eyes were just like, you gave me the cowboy stare.
Sorry.
And I was like, what?
Sorry, everyone who's just doing the audio. I'm drinking tequila and it's a lot. And every time I take a sip, I'm trying to keep a straight face and I cannot.
Anyways, so it lasted for like until Saturday daytime and I got it on Thursday last time. So this time I'm like, it better not be that bad.
Yeah.
It hasn't lasted that long, but it was worse.
Yeah.
But just because it was all at one time.
Yeah.
But it was only for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then it was fine.
Right.
And I got a fever and a headache and.
But you took some Tylenol and then.
It literally was gone as soon as I slept and took Tylenol.
Yeah.
It was. Like we've said, we were pretty sure we had COVID. That was 100 times worse. And that fever lasted me for like a week on and off. And I had to take ibuprofen and Tylenol, like alternating to get it to go down.
And I was pregnant, so I couldn't take anything.
Yeah, that sucked.
I didn't have a fever though when I had it. I just lost my senses.
See,
and
I didn't lose
my
senses. And I didn't really have a cough, but I had a fever. I had diarrhea.
Migraines.
I had all the other migraines.
Yeah.
Yep. Migraines bad. That was like one of the first, because at first I thought I was hungover.
Yeah.
Because I was drinking.
And I just have migraines when I'm pregnant. So I just thought it was an early pregnancy symptom.
Yeah. That's the
same
other
with
thing.
Congestion.
Yeah.
All of my COVID symptoms, all of my COVID symptoms I thought was just pregnancy related.
Yeah. But my immune system is lower. I have an autoimmune disease and I'm pregnant. So if that was all that happened to me, I feel like you guys should be okay to go and get it.
Yeah.
So yeah, go get vaccinated. It makes me feel
win
like
$1 million if you're in Ohio.
Yeah. What a freaking, what are the odds?
That's this. Nothing has made me feel more like we're already dead than
that.
Yeah. Well, also, I had another weird thing happen. So remember how I think that we're already dead and I'm just like imagining all of this stuff, which if
I
am
constantly,
dead,
especially because in 2021, my life has been going like amazing and people keep commenting on my Facebook like, so proud and happy of where you've gotten, girl. Never would have expected this for you a couple years ago, but look at you now. And I was like, did I die a few years ago? Is that why everything's going good?
Are you in a coma?
Yeah.
Well, I had something on my time hop today that was talking about me trying to check into a flight.
Do you ever have things that are like, oh my God, near-death experience happened on this day? And then I was like, was that the day?
Well, I think today's the day. I think today's the day because I was trying to get on a flight and I like added Delta. I tweeted at Delta and I was like, hey, I've been trying to check in for my flight for like forever. Can you tell Jim and Carol to come out of the back and check my bags in? I am now nestled in between neighbors named Jim and Carol.
What?
Right? What the actual freak? What did that guy from the circle say?
Firkin.
Firk? What the firk? Yeah. Yeah. So I read that and I'm like, why would I pick those names? And now my neighbors in my fever dream dead life are named Jim and Carol?
Whoa.
Right?
Honestly, I'm having a little bit of a panic. I'm going to be honest with you.
I'm dissociating.
I started to. Did you see my eyes go? Well, because I started thinking and I was like, no, for real. This is how we figure it out. This is how. What if we just started floating away?
Well, I thought about that whenever we did our exclusive Q&A and we couldn't remember any of our memories of children together.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what if they don't exist?
Because we died as children.
Oh my God, none of this has been real the whole time?
What if none of this is real anyways?
I start thinking about that when I zoom out, like where Horton hears a hoot. We're very tiny.
Did I ever tell you about when I used to in elementary school? Here's a memory that you don't have. You know how,
what do you mean?
You don't have
my brain?
Well, you weren't with me in the bathroom. But we were there at the same school. Mm-hmm. But you remember how we had like all of those sinks and then a giant mirror.
Yeah.
I used to sit up on the sink and just stare at myself in the mirror.
Fucking weirdo you are.
Hold on, I know. And I would just be like, who are you? How did you get here? What the fuck is going on? How are we people?
What? We? You're more than one?
No, like how are we, like as a society, people?
Oh.
I could not figure. It was like mind-boggling to me that we existed.
Mm-hmm.
I would sit there as a maybe 6-year-old and be like, existence is fucking crazy.
You were never meant for success.
No.
You were always meant for mental illness.
Honestly.
From 6 years old.
I should have told somebody.
You really should have. You needed early intervention.
And they were like, hey, Sierra, what's taking you so long? And why are your pants wet? I was like, I was sitting on the sink thinking about life.
They're like, you're quirky. Let's go. That's nice. Can you come do this times table paper? We're going to time you.
I was like, that's fine. We could talk about multiplication, but somebody should also explain to me how the fuck we're all here.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not doing any more times tables. Do you tell me how we got here?
Or I would stare into my eyes and try to think back to my first memory, but like as a baby, because I was like 6.
I do that drunk.
Yeah.
I like stare at myself and I'm like, why? How did we get here?
Yes. But I'm like, what was your first memory? Think. And I would be like, really?
You flash a flashlight into your own face.
I want you to think about it.
Tell me where we were.
And honestly, the first thing that I could think of was accidentally walking in on a little boy in preschool peeing.
Oh. That's your first memory?
I saw this thing. Oh. It was traumatizing.
I think it's weird. That's weird.
I was like, I'm so sorry. But also, what's up?
So cool that you can stand. Very jealous.
Don't say anything about me being weird. I was also a child.
Yeah, just because she's thinking about it now.
I don't remember what it looks like.
It's not weird. Stop making it
weird. No. I just remember how I felt, and it was bewildered and curious.
Oh, gosh.
So, Enneagrams.
Oh, yeah, Enneagrams.
So, we're going to talk about, you guys have asked us, literally so many of you have asked us to do this.
Yes.
And so, we fucking did it for you. Are you happy now?
Yes. Well, it was funny because I saw someone say, like, I think the only people who can help me understand what the fuck the Enneagram is these two. And I'm like, well, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like we just make stuff up.
Here's the thing. I didn't look into that at all.
Okay.
Was I supposed to?
The Enneagram itself
I Wikipedia'd it and it was fucking a lot.
It's intense. Did you know that Enneagram stands for like a nine-sided figure?
Yes. And then I looked at the
nine-sided
figure.
I would have been like an octagon. Yes. That's what I'd have thought.
Octagon. Well, and they all cross and it has to do with all the lines. And I was just like reading this and I'm like, there's no fucking way I'm going to go into detail about and also talk about all of our...
I do have some like cool things that I learned about it. So like... There's nine types, but there's actually 27 types.
Yeah, because you can have wings.
Yes, yes. So there's nine types. There's type one, type two, all the way through nine. I'm not going to say them all, you weirdos. But you can only wing with the numbers next to yours.
Oh.
So like, I'm a two wing three. I couldn't be a two wing six because six doesn't go next to two.
You want
to
hear something that's the most... I knew that you would love this. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're a two wing three.
Yeah.
My boyfriend is a three wing two.
Is he?
I swear to God.
You know what, though?
So when he did it and showed me that, I was like, of fucking course you are.
People think that I'm a three. Here's the thing. If you want to know.
People think I'm a nine sometimes.
Oh,
I've heard
Shane's
that
a nine.
I know.
And you're a six.
Yes.
But you're 10 in my book. Baby. Don't you worry.
Thank you. I'm a six wing five.
Oh, actually, you for sure are.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing about the Enneagram is that anyone who I've ever heard talk about it, like, you're not supposed to take a test because tests can be wildly inaccurate and like vary from test to test. So the way that they suggest that you find your number is by going and reading a book and learning about all of the types, and whichever one makes you feel the most like naked in the middle of a room, that's most likely your number.
Oh,
everything I've ever heard about a two, I identify with.
Yeah.
So that's why I feel like we took a test. We didn't read up on all of the all of them, but
we don't have that much time.
If you like watch a video or listen to a podcast or something that just like briefly goes over the nine types, you will identify with all of them in some type of way.
Because I did. I was like, I feel like I'm all of these.
Yes, you will identify with
some
of them.
But wait till we break it down when it goes into relationships that I have.
Yeah.
Because they are so dead on with who we are. It's insane.
Do you know how Enneagram numbers like come to be? Like how your number forms in you?
No.
Okay, so apparently... if I butcher this,
but
because
I can tell that my number would have been different like 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay.
Because of what happened recently.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So people who are obsessed with the Enneagram and like you live and breathe the Enneagram, if we're wrong.
Fucking
okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Like
you can't be perfect.
You
can
correct us in the comments. Like we're not taking it that seriously because it's not based in science.
Yeah.
Neither is Myers-Briggs. But it is just like a cool tool to grow from.
Yeah.
And what I had heard about it is that the way that your number comes to be is it is rooted in trauma, actually. Mm-hmm. It's a trauma response.
Yep.
So you learned to cope with trauma that was happening around you in a specific way.
Oh, when I read you, yours and mine, I already am like, yep.
So, and that's why someone told us if we were going to take the test to take it as our 20-year-old self and not as ourself now. I'm going to tell you my 20-year-old self honestly was probably, because they said that your 20-year-old self is your most like selfish self.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, that's not true for me at all.
No, my 20-year-old self was,
I took this test like a couple years ago and got a two wing three, and I have changed dramatically. You could even hear how much I've changed, I feel like, from the beginning of this podcast in 2019 until now, and I still got a two wing three.
Yeah.
So that was what I wanted to say about it. Oh, and the other thing was, too, that you also connect with two other numbers.
Yeah.
And it that's one of the crossy bar things.
Yes.
So like when you're
which
in.
It's funny because three is with nine, which is our boyfriend.
Eight. No, two is with eight. Oh. Three is with nine. Yeah.
Three is with, yeah, because I was looking at what three is compatible with, and I'm like, of course it's Shane. You fucking, it's freaking Corey and Shane.
Well, whenever you, so like me being a two, anyone who like doesn't give a fuck about the Enneagram is just hearing all these numbers and being like, I don't care. We're not going to go into detail about all of them. We're just going to talk about ourselves.
Yeah, and if you want to learn more, Google it, please. Because we just had someone comment on our YouTube who was like, hey, next time can you go like into detail when you talk about like cognitive dissonance? It was after the episode. We can't, there literally is not enough time. So if we ever say something and you're thinking like, I don't really know what that is, just Google it.
Yeah,
honestly.
Or if we're referencing it and not going into it, it's probably because we already talked about it. And so just check out one of the other episodes.
Yep.
We already repeat ourselves a lot with like stories sometimes.
Yeah, so I can't even imagine because there are people that listen from the beginning.
I truly have an insecurity actually about repeating myself. Mm-hmm. I feel guilty. It's not guilty. I feel very insecure if I tell the same story more than once. I've heard myself do it on the podcast. And
me too.
I go full-fledged like anxious, even though no one gives a shit. I feel stupid for some reason. Anyway, so as a two... when I'm in a period of growth, I have characteristics of an eight, which an eight is very like matter of fact, very direct, very, I don't want to say like, they like conflict, but not because they're confrontational, but they're not afraid of confrontation.
Yeah.
But when I'm in a period of stress, I am a four.
Yeah.
Which fours are very like, if they're down, they're down bad. And they like just sit in it and they are like melancholy and they just will let their sadness consume them. And I'm like, yeah, if I get sad, I'm turning on a playlist. Yep. I'm staring out the window pretending I'm in a music video.
How about my son did that today?
He did?
And I was like, so cute. I caught him. We were listening to Hamilton.
You caught him?
I did. We were listening to Hamilton on the way to school and I looked back in, you know, in the rear view mirror, and I was like, hey, what's wrong, buddy? Because normally he's singing along, and he was just staring out the window, and he was like, oh, sorry, I was just pretending to be Hamilton, and I was writing a book, and I was like, are you in your mind being a music video right now?
Why is that like a rite of passage?
That's what I was like, is this
he doesn't even have MTV to reference.
Literally, you've never seen a music video at all. Like, how are you? It was so, I was like, is this just a thing that we all do?
Yeah,
I've never told him about me doing that, and he was just he was like, "Yeah, I was in my head. I was pretending to be Alexander Hamilton, and I was writing a really like fast book because you know he writes like he's running out of time."
Oh, that's so cute!
Yeah, I was like, "I'm so sorry I interrupted you. I thought that you were upset.
Please
but
finish
you
your
were,
story.
But you were dissociating.
Yeah,
so go for it.
Please continue.
That's important.
Yeah,
it's a coping mechanism that we all use.
I want you to have that."
I wish I knew what my stress things are, but maybe
we can look it up real fast.
When I have everything saved, I'm a six. So when I'm in my highest, I'm a nine.
So when you are in a period of growth, you are a nine.
Yes.
And when you are in a period of stress, you're a three.
Which is what Corey is.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Hmm.
Corey and Jane. That's hilarious. Okay, let's see. Let's see. So first off, who do you want to go first?
I don't care.
All right, we'll go with me first then, because that's the first thing I saw. So I'm a six wing five.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Guardian. Okay.
So fives are like super inquisitive. They want to know everything about everything.
Yes, which is what I was like, oh, okay, that actually makes sense. So it says people with an Enneagram type 6 wing 5 personality tend to identify most with the type 6 but share traits with the 5 type as well. They tend to be intellectual, hardworking, and cautious in their behavior. They are independent but are very loyal to those they support. They are usually more serious and focused than other 6s, which I don't know if I'm more serious and focused, but maybe. Am I? Okay. I was like, I don't know. I can't tell.
Yeah. Well, because if you were winging with a 7, 7s are like... I think it's called the Enthusiast, maybe.
Oh, they're like really go like.
Oh yeah, they get like bad FOMO. They're like party goers. No, like are super social, like looking on the bright side of everything.
That probably would have been me in my early 20s. That's why I don't feel like that's accurate at all, because I'm not that person anymore. Basic fear. Six with five wings are afraid of losing their guidance and stability. This is often expressed through their skepticism of the world. Obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know that I get along with sixes?
I know.
Any person who I'm like, you are like my person, I always find out they're a six.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I love how I'm like, those of you who like live and breathe the Enneagram, meanwhile, I'm just like, let me tell you everything I know about the Enneagram.
Well, I have one for our relationship together. I looked it up. Cute. So, because I tried to do, I looked up relationships like.
Is it romantic?
Well, I kept finding romantic one, then finally I found one that's just like a friendship or compatibility, and I'm like, okay, that's better. My basic desire, they have a strong desire for security, which they tend to show by protecting themselves and others. They seek close and stable relationships, and they tend to defend themselves by projecting their own feelings onto others, which can often enhance their distrust of the world. So sorry. Mm-hmm. But honestly, that's a trauma response.
Yes.
Being not having safety or security was...
And made you untrustworthy.
Of everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, it didn't make you untrustworthy. You didn't trust anything then.
Yeah.
Made you question things.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, can't trust this bitch over here.
Honestly, I'm so shifty. In summary, these personalities tend to seek support and guidance, be hardworking and intellectual. They fear losing their stability, and they think logically and analytically. Let's see my strengths. Solving problems practically and efficiently. Mm-hmm. Focusing on specifics and details, ability to work well independently. I hate group projects much. I feel like I'm better by myself. Don't put me in a group. I hate it.
I'm such a control freak that I would just like to do everything.
Yeah.
And I also don't like burdening people with stuff. So I'm just like, I love that we're all a part of this team. I'm going to do everything, but you can share the credit with me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I would get along with you. That's why we do this so well.
I just realized I described our working relationship.
I was like, wow, that is why we get along. Because mostly I'm like, I want to do things my way or I don't want to do it at all. So with you and I just don't do it.
But you're also overwhelmed by the stuff.
And
you're
so like, much.
So you got it? Cool. I'm not going to even worry about
because I would rather die. And then the last thing is a passion for pursuing knowledge, which...
Yeah.
Yes. Here are my weaknesses.
Okay.
Struggling to control negative thinking.
No.
A tendency to withdraw from others.
Not you.
Doesn't sound like me at all. Difficulty expressing their own emotion.
Are you sure that someone's, this is not just like your therapist diagnosing you with depression?
She's like, honestly, girl, I'm here with you, but being perceived as cold or aloof, which you guys probably wouldn't say that, but like when I'm in my depressive mode, I get that a lot. My mom will be like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I just can't express emotions today.
Oh, yeah, you don't express? You don't express a whole lot of emotion. If you can tell, I'm no longer making faces when I drink this, which is a dangerous thing that I'm aware of. My tongue feels very big.
I can't wait. I'm excited.
Okay.
Okay. But yeah, when I'm not like putting on a show, like when I'm here, I'm entertaining. Mm-hmm. If I'm not and we're just in a crowd, there will be certain times where I'm just like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to be cold.
It's because she's like, sitting there trying to figure out how we all got here.
I'm like, who the fuck are we?
Yeah. I told Sierra the one day, like, that sometimes I feel weird because I remember walking into the kitchen one time and seeing my dad and being like, oh my God, you're my dad. Like, it was like I was seeing his face for the first time.
Yes, I do that. I have done that so many times.
I did that to Shane earlier in the car. I was like, oh my God, you're so handsome. I didn't say this to him. I might have, should have. But I looked at him and I'm like, he's so handsome. That's my husband?
Right.
And it makes me feel like I've taken a trip in my mind and I don't know for how long. And then I've just come back and I'm like, oh my God.
That's how I just felt that about Corey the other day, because the road to getting here was so strange.
Yes.
And sometimes I feel like 4 years ago, Sierra pops in and I'm like, I'm going to marry you. We're having a baby.
Like, what?
I was just fucking around with you at a bar one time and now we're like doing this thing.
Yeah.
Here's my motivations. When people experience pain, stress, or dissatisfaction at work. Oh, wait, blah, blah, blah. That's not what I wanted.
She's like, no one cares about that.
That's just the explanation. That's just the explanation of motivations. I fucking know what motivation means. Okay, I tend to be motivated and energized by reliable relationships and jobs. Mm-hmm. That's why I like no jobs. Most of them aren't reliable. Yeah. Feeling valued and appreciated by others. Advocating for the underdog.
Wow. I love that.
And finding a good solution to a complex problem.
Yeah.
Love this. I tend to be stressed and drained by inconsistency or unexpected change, mm-hmm. feeling rejected or useless.
Oh.
Yeah. Making an unhelpful or misguided decision or needing to express myself emotionally.
Which the decision-making one is probably why you are indecisive.
I fucking hate making decisions.
Yeah.
Even though I want to solve problems, I'm like, I need to solve my own problems. I don't want to solve them in a group.
Because you're afraid to disappoint people.
That's exactly it. I'm afraid to fail.
When you were reading that, were you like, well, at me next time?
Literally. Everything that I was reading, I was like, okay, well, here's the jobs that I should get. But paralegal... Which my mom always said I should be.
What is a paralegal?
Good fucking question.
I've heard it on TV before.
It's a type of lawyer, isn't it?
I've heard it in like a Phoenix University online commercials. And I'm like, what do you do?
I definitely think that's something with the law.
Well, legal makes me feel like that's true.
I'm so smart.
Paraplegic means like two. You can't use two limbs, right?
So para means two. Two legals. You're two attorneys in one.
Wow, you're so good.
Solving complex problems. That's just what I do.
You will solve any crime by dinner time. You pair of legals.
You pair of legals. That can't be right. We will find out what it is.
Someone tell us what a paralegal is,
please.
I think they're just like a lawyer's assistant.
Yeah, sure. That makes more sense. They do the paperwork stuff. So
paralegal.
They're not like in court being like, but they're like, I'll do all the work.
I'm going to laminate stuff.
Yeah. I don't know.
Paralegals do.
And then, okay, marketing analysis, boo. Banker, boo. Professor. Ooh. Which you told me I should be before. Administrative assistant.
You as a professor would be the most I would sit in your classes. I imagine myself in a movie where you're the professor and I am sitting in the last row and I don't have any papers or anything or a laptop. And I'm just sitting arms on either chair next to me with my foot propped up. And then the class clears out and you like close a book really loudly. And then you slowly walk up to me and I'm like, hey, stranger. And you're like, been a long time. That's if anyone wants to know if my mind is like,
I love that.
All she said was, I'm a professor, and I'm like, I know. I'm in your class right now.
We're there together, bud. Financial analysis, boo. Chemist, web developer, business consultant. Those all seem so boring. So fuck those.
You're like, I can't be any of those things.
I would rather none.
Wait, was paralegal on there?
Yeah, that was the first one.
Oh, I thought we were just fucking with that shit. I didn't know that was a real option.
No, okay. It was. Okay, here's you. Are you ready to be naked
exposed
in front of everybody? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, people who identify as an Enneagram type 2 with a 3-wing primarily identify as type 2s, but share some characteristics. I'm fucking hammered. Share some characteristics with type 3s. They tend to be ambitious, altruistic, and sociable in their behaviors.
What does altruistic mean? Because I've been told that so many times, and I'm like, sure.
I'll let you know. Until I just read it, I swear to God, I thought it was artistic.
Oh, I'm also that. Altruistic?
Look up paralegal while you're on there.
I'm sorry. Not speaking you. Of fat thumbs, I... Oh my God, I've had so much tequila, and you want me to spell altruistic?
It's alt... Rue.
Showing a disinterested and selfless concern for the well-being of others. Unselfish.
Yeah, for sure.
Just
that's
say
you.
Unselfish.
Yeah, that's
so much easier. Okay.
They love building connections with others and helping make a difference in the world.
Okay. Yes, that is literally all I want to do. That's why I can't stop making businesses because I'm like, there's more people to help. I have to reach them.
Oh, we'll talk about it.
Oh, okay.
Your basic fear is that you fear being unwanted or worthless.
Mm-hmm.
They usually avoid this by building personal connections with others and working hard to meet the needs of their community.
Mm-hmm.
Their most basic desire is to be loved and accepted.
Mm-hmm.
They may express this by being extremely attentive and attached to other people. Oh, you're a host. That's what it's called, host.
Yeah.
Hosts tend to suppress their own negative...
I let everyone suck the life out of me.
Well, it says, hosts tend to suppress their own negative emotions, which, when done frequently, can lead to high levels of stress and unexpected outbursts.
I think for the longest time... Because there's something else with Enneagrams. If my speech gets worse... Just know I've had... My tongue is starting to feel hairy. But I just want to let everyone know that... You can be any of these numbers in a healthy and an unhealthy way.
Yes.
For a very long time, I was an unhealthy two.
Yes.
And so I didn't know how to set proper boundaries for myself. And so I would have unexpected outbursts because I was exhausting myself trying to be there for others to show them that I cared for them and that I wanted to support them. But my new... I don't know if it's a mantra, but the new thing that I'm saying to myself all the time is at what cost?
Yeah.
So if I'm able to be there for people, at what cost? Am
right.
I costing myself my peace? The other thing I say is I need to protect my peace. Like Barbara is like really making a big change for me.
That's what therapy does, baby.
I am noticing that I feel like I'm probably, I thought I was going to be different. I thought because I've seen such a change in myself and the way that I communicate and the way that I am able to establish and hold my boundaries. I thought I was going to get a different number,
but
think what happened is I'm just a healthier two than I was before.
So, and there's levels, which I didn't have time to get into, but you're level one, you're at your best self, your Enneagram, and then level 10 is like your worst.
Yeah.
And like for Corey's, his level 10, because that's who I read Corey's levels, because he was like, I feel like this is not me. And I was like, well, I read him 7 to 10.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, yeah, that is not me. Because it was like manipulative and all these other like conniving things. And he's like, that's not what I do. And I'm like, well, let me read 1 to 3 for you. And those were all like him to a T.
Yes.
I'm like, it just means you're at your best self.
You're healthy. You're a healthy three.
Yeah.
See, people think I'm a three because I am ambitious and I like to do a lot of things and I am kind of a performer, which are kind of some traits of a three.
Yep.
But I'm also a perfectionist and a rule follower.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I'm a two, because I can also have some tendencies of a one.
Yeah.
Which is a one is very much like a striving for perfectionism, wanting to play by the rules, wanting to control their environment around them to make sure that everything is like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I'm always going to land in the two realm
area. Yeah.
But I do lean more three, where I just like want to do a lot of shit all the time.
Right. In summary, your personality tends to understand and attend to the need of others, seek acceptance and accomplishment. You enjoy group settings and meeting new people. You repress your own negative emotions.
Not me creating so many different platforms to connect with people.
I was like, these are so... And you try to avoid being disliked and undervalued.
Yeah.
Here's your strengths. You have an optimistic worldview and an upbeat attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You build deep personal connections with people.
I cannot entertain shallow ones.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You're able to be adaptable in stressful situations.
Mm-hmm.
You communicate clearly and effectively, and you have a passion for serving others.
Oh my God.
So many good things.
I like me.
Okay, wait, here are your weaknesses.
Oh, fuck. Okay. You're like, wait, you're not so great. Let me tell you why.
You have a tendency to be overly competitive or obsessive.
I don't like how you laugh. I feel like you think that's true.
I just know you from 10 years ago when you were at your worst too.
I don't think I'm too far from that too that you just described. Because I can remember many a kickball game where I was like,
I have to kill you. Hello. What was it?
I have to kill you.
Was it 3 years ago that we almost beat the shit out of each other over a game of spoons?
You guys want to see that video? I have the video of
we'll put
Sierra
it up.
And I. Sierra bit me.
I did bite her. I'm also competitive.
Well, you really got to fight for your spoons.
Mm-hmm. I needed those spoons.
Yeah. I was pregnant.
No, you weren't.
We didn't know.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, because that was on Christmas, right?
Yeah. We found out like 2 days later.
Whoopsies.
So you wrestled a pregnant lady, me, and you bit me.
Oh, I didn't kick you. No. So you're welcome. Okay. In the stomach. Your face isn't pregnant, bitch. You have a tendency to not acknowledge your own needs. Mm. You take criticism personally.
I'm great. Why are you so mean to me?
And you criticize yourself and others when you're under pressure.
See, I think that's why I have an issue with criticism, because I'm like, don't you think I already yelled at myself? Aren't you aware that I've been yelling at myself for a week about what you just said?
Can you give me a fucking break? I've been so mean to myself all week.
Yes.
You tend to be motivated and energized by making a measurable difference, mm-hmm. taking time to care for yourself, organizing and leading groups, and meeting and getting to know new people. Anyways, this is just a plug for Jerry's new retreat.
If you guys want to go to, if you're a photographer or a videographer and you have children and you want to go to Head and Heart Retreat, I'm hosting one.
Go look it up.
Go to Head and Heart Retreat on Instagram. Its sign-ups are opening. They're open now.
Yay!
I think we've started a giveaway. It closes tomorrow. Oh my God, please go share the video.
Okay. You tend to be stressed and drained by neglecting your own needs,
mm-hmm.
being criticized or rejected, failing to accomplish your goals.
Oh my God.
And feeling unloved in relationships.
This isn't fun anymore.
No, it's not. I'm so sorry. Oh, but here's some jobs you can have.
Okay.
You could be a nonprofit leader.
Well, I'm barely making any money, so that feels like right.
You could be an entertainer.
Oh my God.
You're doing it. You could be a religious leader.
I am on the worship team.
Okay, deal. A motivational speaker.
Oh my God, I'm killing this. Your jobs suck.
My jobs are awful. They're all like business related. I'm like, for fucking who? That doesn't sound like me at all. I want to be an entertainer.
I want to be your job.
Yeah.
I can't be all these. Do you want to help me be all of my jobs?
Yes. Next one is a public relations specialist. So there you go. That's
I
me.
Do all of that for my businesses.
Real estate agent.
I don't want to do that.
Nope, neither.
That was our grandma. Yeah. She used to be on billboards. She would drive me around and she's like, do you want to see my billboards?
Honestly, I loved that.
I was like, yeah, grandma.
Customer service representative.
Mm-hmm.
I did that for years, actually, being a server.
I did that at Victoria's Secret and yep. Kohl's and the Akron Zoo.
And a human resources manager, which is what somebody said I should be if I went back to college. So that's that. Do you want to...
I feel like if you were an HR person, you would fuck everybody up.
Yeah, probably.
Anyone who made a report back, you'd be like, and you're fired and I've ruined your career forever.
Also, your wife's divorcing you. Maybe you shouldn't talk about women's asses at the workplace. Jerry. Oh, wait.
That's me. Pick a different guy.
Terry.
Do you want to know what a paralegal is?
Yeah, what is it?
Okay. A paralegal... A person who's qualified by education, training, or work experience, who is employed or retained by a lawyer, law office, corporation, government agency, or other entity who performs specifically delegated substantive legal work.
Help lawyers.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, now we're going to do you and I's relationship.
Okay.
And then we'll do our relationships with our significant others.
You don't want to do the significant others and then us? End with us?
Okay, sure.
Okay. Are you like, that's way harder because I had it in a different order.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
All right. Type 2 and type 9. Here's you.
I just need you to know that I am drunk. I just went upstairs to get you toilet paper and I flashed Shane and then just like finger gunned and then walked back down here.
I show my boobs to Corey every single day because they are huge now.
Aw.
Puffy nips. It's fine. But they're...
Yeah.
They started leaking last night.
They did?
I was like, oh, that something feels cold on my nipples. And I looked and there's like a little clear liquid coming
One
out.
One time, mine did that and it was in the shape of a pinata.
What?
I know. I took a picture. It was fascinating.
What was in the shape of the stuff coming out?
I had leaked and I looked down on my shirt and it was in the shape of a pinata, like a donkey pinata. Funny. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
I am obsessed with clothes.
Oh, yeah.
It's a problem for me. It's a problem for my closet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's why I'm so excited to be sharing Newly with our audience. Because Newly
is a way to try out trendy styles, colors, silhouettes, all different kinds of things that maybe you've been interested in but are like gonna make your bank cry.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can rent them for a period of time and then you just ship them back.
For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month, access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing.
That's another beautiful thing, mm-hmm. because a lot of places may not have options for everyone. And this has so much diversity, not only in the brands that they offer, but also they have fast free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility.
Plus, the option to buy what you love.
It's fun, it's sustainable, and you can save because you get to try out a bunch of stuff that you like, or maybe you're like, I don't know, maybe I would like this. And then you get it and you're like, I don't think that's for me. But there's no commitment to buy it unless you really do love it. And you're like, you actually can't have this back, Nuuly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm keeping it.
Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now you can get $20 off of your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code TANGENTS20.
Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code TANGENTS20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month.
That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with 2 U's with code TANGENTS20.
Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Imagine bold, naturally aged Tillamook cheddar slices melting over a burger, eating handfuls of thick-cut cheddar shreds straight from the bag, taking a bite out of an irresistibly bold block of extra sharp cheddar cheese. We know you want to get back to streaming, but wasn't it nice to daydream about cheese for a bit? Tillamook Cheddar. Extraordinary dairy.
What is the most important thing to you when it comes to menstrual care?
I would say probably not having to worry about leaking, going about my day, and not worrying about having to run to the bathroom when you feel that, what's going on?
I think I'd agree.
Yeah.
And that's why we're excited to tell you about Flex.
If you want a period product that looks out for your body, your lifestyle, and the planet, you've got to try Flex.
There's the Flex Disc, which is a one-time use menstrual disc that fits perfectly inside your body.
It's not a cup and it's better than a tampon. It's unlike any period product you've ever seen before. One Flex disc can be worn for up to 12 hours and it holds as much flow as 3 super tampons.
Plus, you can wear it for mess-free period sex.
Yes, my white sheets love that for me.
Flex discs also create 60% less waste compared to pads and tampons, so they are planet-friendly.
And if you want to go with zero waste and have the planet love you even more, you can pick up the Flex Cup, a reusable menstrual cup that Cosmo rated number 1.
The patented pull tab makes Flex the only cup on the market that removes like a tampon. It's so easy. You already know how to use it and you won't lose it.
Yes, which is very important. It's also disability friendly and made with beginners in mind. So when I say like this is easier to use than tampons, I really truly believe that.
Well, this beginner is grateful for that.
Yes. It's also velvety soft and completely body safe, and it lasts for years.
So say goodbye to cramps, put sex back on the table, and lend Mother Nature a hand. Go to flexfits.com/tangents and use code tangents for 20% off Flex Disc starter kits.
Or 10% off your first Flex Cup. Plus, you get free U.S. shipping. That's code tangents at flex, F-L-E-X, fits.com/tangents. Okay, I've never seen anything be as accurate as what yours and Shane's is, so are you ready?
Yes.
Enneagram 2s and 9s are similar in a wide variety of, remember, she's the 2, he's the 9.
Yeah.
In a wide variety of areas and reactions, both types are interested in nurturing others and in helping people to be better, more comfortable with themselves, and more at peace. Both types also tend to be optimistic and to reframe disappointments in the most positive way. This pairing has an outstanding warm, kindly, and good-natured quality about it that each side reinforces. 2s and 9s are both easygoing, hospitable, and undemanding, happy to make their friends happy and to welcome them into their home. 2s bring to the pair a more outward and interpersonally engaging energy They would most likely be the first to introduce themselves at a party or to go to someone's aid and comfort if they perceived that the other person had some kind of problem, right?
Why am I going to cry?
Hold on. It gets so much better because I'm like, this is so you guys. Twos are proud of their relationship, their home, their family, and their friends, and they want to share them with others. Twos constantly add energy and new people to the relationship mix. They are more talkative than nines and more openly curious about other people, how they live and what they are like, and more eager to get involved in other people's lives.
Can you see my eyes welling up?
No. Hold on. Here we go. Now you're really going to cry because this is about Shane.
Oh, God.
On the other hand, nines bring a quiet steadiness and uncomplicated directness that allows people to flourish and things to get done with a minimum amount of stress and conflict. Aww. I know. Even if twos become upset about their relationships or are feeling moments of self-doubt about how loved they are, nines have a way of calming them down and providing a great deal of unquestioned acceptance. Isn't this so dead on?
Yes.
Both types are drawn to each other to provide soothing and support. Their home and their heart, pets, and love of nature are extremely important to them. Both go out of their way to be considerate of each other as well as of other people. Much of their best communication is nonverbal, physical, arising from their simple, direct presence to each other. They can develop almost a psychic link with each other. Isn't this so you guys?
Yes. I have never, like, I think I'm so emotional because, like, We watch our wedding video every day. Every day. Every single day we watch it. We don't start or end the day without it. No, we watch it every year on our anniversary.
Yeah.
Sorry, I get so drunk.
Every fucking day. Of that day I went, no, I'm just
kidding. Oh, no. We watch it every year on our anniversary. Mm-hmm. And I always feel really stupid because there's a part in it where like we get interviewed and the interviewer asks Shane what he loves most about me, and he's like, she is the kindest, most caring, most generous person I've ever met. Like, she will bring out the best in people and wants to give everything she has to others. And then he goes to me and I'm like, I like Shane because he lets me be me. But when I stray away from that, he reminds me and like he helps me get back to center. Aww. And so I felt like he was celebrating how kind I was. And I'm like, I like that he just like doesn't tell me what to do.
That would so be Corey's answer, though.
But it wasn't so much that, but it was like when I was growing up, I didn't like who I was.
Yeah.
And I felt ashamed of who I was. And I kept being told like that I was selfish or that I was conceited or that like just all of these really negative things.
And twos and threes both, because again, Corey is a bit of two and three. So it said that like when you get to that bad point, you can become almost like you morph yourself to be what other people want you to be when you're around them. So you can almost become like fake or a facade.
Yes.
Because you're like, this is what you need me to be. And that's why he was like, I'm kind of pissed at this because I don't feel like I do that. And I was like, I don't feel like you do either. But maybe you did at one point, or if you weren't as healthy of a person as you were, that you would
and
do that.
I did. Yeah. I can honestly say that I did. And that's why I didn't know who I was. And Shane was the first person who was like, you don't have to be anything but yourself. Like, I love you just as you are.
Aww.
And he was someone who, if I was straying from who I was and was questioning that, would remind me, you are worthy of unconditional love just as you are. And I'm here to support you and tell you, you don't have to be anything else. And like, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
I didn't mean like, I just like that he lets me be the center of attention and that he just like lets me go willy nilly wherever I wanted. No, but he does. He celebrates me and supports me in everything that I do. And like, that's why it makes me so emotional, because I have never, ever loved someone more than I love Shane. And I've never felt more loved than I feel with Shane. And like, he has been the reason that so many of my dreams have come true. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the reason I started photography. He's the reason that I left teaching. He's the reason that we have the podcast. He's the reason that I'm starting this retreat. Like, I tell him about my dreams and he's like,
do it.
And I will do everything that I can to make them come true. Yep. And like, I can't tell you what that means to me.
Yeah.
Love it. Thank you for reading that.
Yeah. It's the last part. This is a very mellow couple whose emphasis on hospitality reminds people of how healing it is to be around loving, generous people.
Mm.
Isn't that nice? Now me and Corey's
on camera. Do you feel that way about us?
I do. That's why I told you. I texted you. I was like, these are fucking dead on.
Yeah.
Okay, here's me and Corey's.
You're like, we should have gone first.
We should have shit. Surprisingly, this is not a common pairing. Okay. The first thing it says, I'm like, tight. Although these two types can work very well as a team. On the positive side, threes, that's Corey, bring hard work, optimism, energy, a desire to communicate and to connect with other people, and a feeling of unlimited potential both personally and in the relationship itself. I feel like that's accurate, yeah. Correct? Threes can bring an enormous...
Why you should see him. He's enormous.
He is an enormous person. Like...
Like, in his heart.
In his
pants. He put an enormous baby in her.
He really did. This bitch is big. Can bring an enormous sense of self-confidence and the hope of success that is assured that this relationship is a winning team or that this couple is the best ever.
Aww, that 100% sounds like something Corey would say.
We're the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. The best ever.
He would be like the Kanye, like, Jerry and Shane, I'm going to let you guys finish, but Sierra and I have had the best relationship of all time.
Honestly. Common goals bring them together. They are both practical and want to achieve tangible things in the world. Sixes bring grounding, industrious hard work, perseverance in difficult times, and a personal loyalty to the three. Sixes provide warmth, support, and a great deal of practical good sense. That's me.
Oh, yeah. I feel like you keep Corey grounded.
Yes.
You're like, hey, we got to, like, reel it in.
Yeah.
Okay?
Let's
love
be,
you. Reel it in.
Let's be, you know.
Yeah.
Who we are.
We're adults.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sixes can also bring a compassion for the downtrodden or the less fortunate in life. Threes can pick up on this compassionate quality in sixes and learn to open their hearts more deeply to the underprivileged and the unfortunate.
100% you do that for him.
That's what
100%
I was
you do that for him.
Just going to say that.
It's not that Corey doesn't care. It's just that, like,
I don't think he was thinking about
it. It's not
before.
On his radar. Nope. And you're like, hey, I'm going to just, like, open your eyes to this. And yeah. And he's like, oh, for real? It's like that? And
yeah.
You're like, yes, honey.
It
pay
is.
Attention.
We should talk about it.
Yeah.
And try to make a difference. Both believe in applying elbow grease towards goals, whether towards financial security or developing personal talents. I think his is more financial security. Mine's more personal talents.
Yeah.
In short, they are both doers. They foster equality and mutual respect for the different talents that each brings, which I think is true because we don't have the same. He's very good financially and I'm very good creatively. And I think we both respect that about each other, like a lot. Threes help bolster the sixes' confidence and develop their self-esteem.
Yes.
I cried when I read that part.
100%.
Because I was like, that's so true. I feel, again, same thing. I feel like I can be my most true self with him. And he's never made me feel embarrassed for what I wear, what I say, how I act.
I can't tell you how many times Sierra has contacted me and she's like, Jerry, Corey is on Xbox or on the phone or like hanging out with his friends right now. And he is speaking highly of me.
Yeah.
And like, it's not a joke. Like,
that
he means it.
He's saying I'm funny. Happened before.
He's saying I'm smart. He's saying that, like, he's celebrating me.
Yes.
And it's, and there's no punchline. I don't know what to do.
I know. Because with all of my other exes, it was always like it was a punchline. It was like, I'm going to say these nice things about you, but also she got a fat ass or whatever.
Like, I have to keep you in a box. Like, remind you that you're small.
Yeah.
But
so, like, you're smart and stuff, but also it's really all about them titties.
Yeah.
You know, I have to make you feel small.
Yeah.
And he was just like, she's funny. And that's
period.
It.
Yeah. She's successful.
Isn't that amazing?
Period.
Isn't that amazing? Not for me, but for her.
Yeah.
It has never been about him, because with all of my other exes, if I did something good, it was like, look at what my girlfriend did for me.
Yes. She's a reflection of me, where really he's just like, look at her.
Yes. Oh. Sixes offer support to threes without threes feeling smothered. That's another thing that he said. He's like, my favorite thing about you is that, again, you let me be me. He's like, I feel like I can do whatever and you're still there at the end of the day and you don't make me feel like, why would you go and hang out with your friends without me? Blah, 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 you know?
Yeah.
Sixes also help threes to become a part of something bigger than themselves, perhaps a church, a service organization, a political or spiritual group. Like, definitely political.
Yeah.
I feel like I've pulled that out of him. Both become stronger individually and as a team by finding themselves through service and humble hard work. Respect for each other can grow as each continues to discover the other's good qualities. This can be a very enduring and successful couple as long as heart-centered values and deeper principles keep them both grounded.
I think the main thing, the one word that stuck out the most to me of all of that was respect. You and Corey mm-hmm. have so much respect for each other.
That is so true. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. We really do. And I've never respected a guy.
You've never been respected.
No, never. I think that's why I didn't respect them, because I didn't get that in return.
Yeah.
Like, when people talk about love and things like that, with me and Corey, there is love and there is like passion, mm-hmm. definitely more in the beginning. But the solid foundation of our relationship is security and respect.
Right.
Like 100%, I feel safe. I feel respected. I feel secure.
And so you're loyal.
And so I'm loyal.
You're a loyal ass six.
I am. Well, that's the thing too, because everybody's like, wow, I just never, you know, I used to be kind of a... We talked about it. I would play the field.
Yeah.
But I never had anybody that made me feel secure, respected, right. safe. I can be the loyalest person in the world, and right. I will be.
Right.
But you have to make me feel like you're not going anywhere.
Right.
Because why would I be loyal to somebody that's going to leave?
Right.
I learned so much.
I know.
Okay, here comes me and you.
Am I going to cry again?
I don't know, maybe.
Okay. Well, I have a lot of tequila in me. There's a very good chance I might cry.
This isn't as in-depth as the relationship ones, because this wasn't like...
Okay.
But I think it's still good.
Okay.
Okay, so this one is kind of more just like breaks it down into little boxes, like resolving conflict, building trust, communication.
Okay.
So we'll start with communication.
I heard those words, but none of them got to my head. I literally feel like there's a wall right behind my eyes, and they just like bounced off of it. But well, I feel like they got it. You don't need to repeat it. I'm sure I'll follow from here.
How can twos and sixes communicate effectively with okay. each other? Okay. Twos and sixes are both innately caring, responsible personalities who prioritize the needs of others. Forget A. Twos, however, tend to be more extroverted, warm, and driven by a desire for acceptance from others.
Gang, gang.
Sixes tend to be more meticulous and hardworking. I wouldn't say I'm more hardworking, for sure. Maybe more meticulous. I don't know, though.
I think it depends.
Yeah.
I think it depends.
On myself, maybe. Not as a...
I would think it depends. I think... If we're like talking about a specific topic that you're really passionate about, you're definitely going to be more meticulous than me.
True, true, true.
Yeah.
They're driven by the need to feel secure and safe. Twos should openly but gently address concerns with sixes, and sixes should be encouraging and sensitive around twos. I feel like that's what we do. Is that what you're laughing?
Yeah.
That's exactly how we do it. How can we resolve conflict? Twos and sixes should be calm and empathetic when sorting through their tense issues. Twos should express their perspective logically around sixes.
Or we just avoid it totally.
That too.
I was like, how are we supposed to do it? Because right now all we do is avoid.
We do. And then sixes should patiently listen to twos before communicating their point of views openly while helping twos feel supported.
I was going to say, if I did express something to you, I don't think you would make me feel unsupported. I think you would be like,
always just like, listen.
Sure, 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 yeah, yeah. For whatever you say, I'm going to go berate myself about it.
But I won't let you know that.
No, absolutely. You're never going to know that I'm going to go home and cry. But certainly, yes. Thank you for your time.
Mm-hmm. How can we build trust?
I don't know. Let's talk about it.
Okay.
I am
drunk.
So drunk.
It was that tequila.
Guys, I didn't mean to be this drunk. How closed are my eyes?
No, they look pretty open.
They're pretty open. They feel...
I feel like you're really trying to open them up.
Basically
now.
Closed. Sorry, anyone who's listening and you wanted this to be... Did you really want this to be a sober episode?
I just burped right into the microphone. So you're fucking welcome. I'm sober.
Sometimes... Guys, I don't drink that often, and so... Sometimes it's fun, and sometimes if I'm anticipating being tired, yeah, I will drink, and then I'm like silly. Lively.
Yeah, for a short amount of time though.
Oh
so
yeah,
we really gotta wrap this up.
I think Shane probably thinks something's gonna happen because I showed him my boob a little bit ago, but like I'm definitely just gonna go to sleep.
Sorry about it, bud.
Yeah.
This says twos tend to trust sixes who are understanding and patient, and sixes should try to open up emotionally around twos.
Yeah, you gotta open up to me.
I gotta fucking try. I'm gonna try harder.
Sixes. Open up to me. Is that a song?
Nope. Maybe.
She goes, nope.
It's not one that I know.
There's give it up to me.
Oh, I just said, open.
Wait, wait.
Remix.
That's Sean Paul. Are
you saying real words or having a stroke?
That's just what I hear when I hear Sean Paul. I try so hard and I'm like, ah.
Oh, you hear a bunch of stuff and then it's give it up to me. Yeah. Yeah. I literally was trying so hard to figure out if those were real words. And I was like, this is too much tequila. Oh, no.
I'm actually spiraling.
I no longer understand English.
Or can speak it.
Yeah.
This says, you usually trust... No.
Twos?
Sixes. Sorry.
Sixes.
Sixes usually trust twos who are consistent and loyal. And twos can help sixes feel secure enough to express themselves.
Do I do that? Do you feel secure enough to express yourself to me?
I try. Okay. I really try.
Okay.
I express myself more to you than anybody else.
Okay, good.
So I would say yes.
Okay.
How can we work together? Well, let us know.
No, yeah.
It says twos are generous, kind, and welcoming, while sixes are reserved, playful, and caring. Twos are skilled at connecting to others in a work environment, while sixes tend to find creative, practical solutions to potential problems.
Oh, yeah?
Twos can help sixes stay positive and calm, while sixes can help twos express their concerns more openly. We should try.
Do we?
No.
I think everything's fine, so let's just keep going.
That's what I'm going to think.
Yeah.
How can twos and sixes deal with change?
Oh.
Twos and sixes both tend to prefer consistent, stable environments and relationships. They struggle with adapting to a new or unexpected situation. So twos are likely to adjust well after time, but sixes will tend to feel safer after thoroughly evaluating new circumstances. I'm like a fucking chihuahua.
You know what? I wonder what the relationship one would have been like for us instead of just like the friendship one.
Do you want me to go look for it?
Do you think it would be quick? Because when I think about you and I, we've known each other since birth.
Yeah, that's true.
And like part of me wonders if there's a different level of...
I got us.
You got it? Me wonders if there's like a different level of like understanding and or desire to support one another, mm-hmm. because one of the reasons that you guys are still listening to us talk is because I think we don't want to let the other one down.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Because and I've probably said this again, and I already told you I have an insecurity about repeating myself, but there was a time when I was driving to a shoot, and mm-hmm. I remember texting you. Text to talk, certainly. Not,
yes.
Definitely with my hands
while
driving.
Not.
And I was saying, like, hey, you're going to be starting school. You are.
We were trying.
No, you were trying.
To have a baby.
Yeah, you were trying to have a baby. I can't mm-hmm. remember if it was when you were trying or before I knew you miscarried. You miscarried really fast. So it was probably when you were trying.
Yeah.
You're going to start school. You're trying to have a baby. Like, do you really think this is something that you're gonna want to still do? And you were like, yeah, for sure. And I'm like,
ah, fuck,
okay.
You were like, that was really trying to be my way
okay,
out.
Okay, well, since you said yes, I guess we're still doing it.
That was gonna be the end.
Yes.
Oh,
if you would have been like, I don't know if I can handle it with school, I'm really nervous, I'd have been like, okay,
all right,
this is where it goes then. Yeah,
wow.
And then, it literally was almost done. And then we're like, actually, instead of just keep going like this, do you want to add like 3 times more work to it?
To really make us feel amazing.
Yeah. And you're like, for sure.
That sounds so good. Speaking of that, you guys, if you're messaging us, so is everyone else.
Oh, no. Okay. Time out.
I should have done this before you drank a lot.
I know. I just remembered that we announced that we now have YouTube memberships on our exclusive episode on Red Circle, which was so stupid.
Yeah.
But it took us a while to get a YouTube approval. So now we have approval on YouTube. If you are someone who prefers the visual aspect, we said this on the exclusive episode. Am I slurring?
No, you're good. Okay. You got this.
You please don't feel obligated to have both subscriptions.
Yeah.
But
both are $5 a month, right?
Around ish. Yeah. I don't remember. I know we don't get all the $5.
Oh, what the fuck?
But it's somewhere around that number. So if you are a visual person and you would prefer to have the YouTube membership, that is available. All of the episodes that are available on Red Circle Audio are also available now on YouTube with the visual.
Yeah.
And we're not sure if we're going to be doing like unboxings and things like that. We haven't had the opportunity yet since we just got the approval for YouTube, but that is a potential thing that we'll do.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why I started talking about that.
No, that's good, because I was talking about people in our DMs.
Oh, yes.
And
I'm sorry.
We can't get back to you all. We try. But that is like, there's some things that we are going through that is like a lot is going on in our fucking lives, okay?
Well, and
so that's kind of like a last priority. I don't want it to be, but like we can't.
Something else I wanted to say is like, when we were saying like, please message us, we love it, thank you so much, we get back to everyone, we had maybe 15.
Yep.
And now there's like 200.
Hundreds. Like weekly hundreds.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Like at any given time, there's 200 plus.
Yeah.
And we are both moms. I own multiple businesses. Sierra is in school.
And I have a high risk pregnancy now. Yes. So I'm going to the doctors like 2-3 right. more times than I normally would.
So we're not saying that to be like, don't talk to us anymore.
No, but it's just, sorry. We're going to try.
Yeah.
We
hate the idea that like we told you that we would get back to you and now we're not.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I wanted to mention is too, like, as someone who wants to be there and support everyone and be the host to create a deep connection with you, sometimes I read messages and I just sit and cry.
Yeah,
for a very
we
long
love
time.
You guys. We love you so much. We're both very empathetic people. So when we read like deep messages, it gets to us.
Yes.
After an amount of time. And that's not, I mean, we appreciate you reaching out, but sometimes we have to take a break from that because of what it does to us mentally.
Yeah. And that's something I wanted to mention too is like, we are people.
Yeah.
We love having these conversations. We love connecting with you. We love being quote unquote performers, but we are just regular people and we have thresholds for what we can handle. And some of your stories are just so moving and so intense. And I do not feel right either just breezing past it or sending you just like, thanks for listening. Like you deserve more than that to me, but I don't always have enough to give you what I feel like you deserve.
Yeah.
So please, we just ask that you be patient with us. And when we are trying to respond and things like that, because you do matter, like truly, 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 you do matter to us. It's just, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah. So,
okay. Talk about our,
this is me. There's levels of my drunk and you are in the emotional part of it right now because truly you've changed my life.
Yeah.
And knowing that we've been able,
we want to be able to give you as much as you guys have given us.
Yes. And knowing that like a phrase, there are times I listen to our podcast and I'm like, why the fuck did we even say that? Why did we go off on that tangent? Why am I even, that has nothing to do with the topic. And that specific thing that I questioned is the thing that someone says, you just changed my life. That thing specifically made me leave this toxic relationship. That thing specifically made me see my body differently. That thing specifically made me decide to either repair or set up a boundary with a family member. And it's like, for real?
Yeah. It also gives us an insane like power complex almost. Yes. I know for me,
like an imposter syndrome thing.
So that's why sometimes I literally can't read those when people are telling me how much I've changed their lives, because I'm just like, this is a lot of responsibility. Yeah.
Did the sound thing in your ear just go weird?
Yes.
Okay, me too.
I thought I was going to pass out. Honestly, I was like
bracing
for it.
Same. I was like, the something just happened with my ears just now.
Maybe someone's here with us.
Hello?
Hello?
Part of me wants to get in contact with Reggie, who is my friend and psychic.
Can we please?
And see if he'll do one with us.
I would love that.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Are you ready? This is going to be like what I read for Corey and Shane and us. Okay. Mm-hmm. But it's with us.
So romantic relationship with us. Yes. Okay.
Both Enneagram 2s and 6s are highly dutiful. 2s and 6s, that's what we are, right? Mm-hmm. And take their responsibilities towards each other very seriously. The emphasis tends to be slightly different, however, with 2s focusing primarily on building intimacy. See, okay.
Okay.
But and positive feelings between themselves and other individuals, whereas the emphasis of 6s tends to be on building a foundation of security, a sturdy platform, and trust that everyone can count on.
See, I feel like that's true because intimacy, like when we first hear it, is like dirty, dirty.
Yeah. No, but it's more like.
For me, I want you to feel safe opening up to me. Mm-hmm. I want you to feel safe saying, like, Jerry, I can't do this right now.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry, I've like maxed out. I don't want you to feel like if you say you can't handle something, that you're going to feel like you're failing me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want you to feel like that. I'm going to cry again.
Oh.
So like that resonates with me because I want you to feel the level of security that I know you have with Corey with me as well.
Yeah.
That I'm not going to walk away, that I'm not going to give up on you, that I'm never.
Oh no.
That I'm never, ever, ever, ever going to give up on you. So. See,
I caught it. I knew the romantic one
would fit more with us. Okay.
Okay. They both types.
Everyone's going to be like, can Jerry drink tequila all the time?
I know. This is such a roller coaster. I love it. Both types are highly responsible and tend to put the needs of others before their own.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They are both family-oriented and foster domesticity. They easily share duties around the house with their children and friends.
Well, we do.
Yeah. They are both socially involved in their community and see great value in having many social connections, which give them the feeling that they are valued in their world. Sixes value the warmth, kind-heartedness, generosity, and self-sacrifice of the two. Oh, I think that's true.
You do?
I do. Sixes are aware of how well-suited twos are to being an excellent, devoted spouse and parent, and that they can be trusted to be loyal.
See? You trust me?
I do.
Oh.
On the other hand, whoopsies, exited out of it. It's just gone.
You big dumb dumb.
Big dumb idiot. On the other hand, twos will likely admire the hard work, steadfastness to commitments. I don't feel like I'm any of these things.
You are.
Perseverance, modesty, and playfulness of sixes. The two at the end, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not modest.
Perseverance
and playfulness, for
and you
sure.
Don't think modest? You literally just wouldn't accept compliments to yourself. That's modesty. I'm not saying that you need to cover your boobs.
Okay, that's fair. Even if they should sometimes be grumpy and indecisive.
You're grumpy? Like, damn at me next time.
Wow. Twos realize that healthy sixes almost always come around in the end. Oh! Okay, that's what's happening.
I always knew.
Oh, my gosh. Caution and vigilance are recognized as worthwhile assets in what can be a cruel and exploitative world. Twos often feel that they can count on the sixes' watchfulness to spot difficulties before they become problems. When twos and sixes are healthy, they may actually admire each other more than they feel a grand passion for each other. I feel like that's true. I'm a little less passionate about you.
I'm super passionate. I admire you.
Their relationship may be based more on steadiness, mutual respect, and affection than on some kind of overheated chemistry.
We are romantic.
We are. They see
this is only validating everyone who thinks we're lesbians.
But not passionate lesbians. Respectful lesbians.
Yes.
They see the other as good.
This is a platonic lesbian relationship.
Yeah, it's fine. We were in a tub together last week.
Wasn't the first time.
No, it wasn't.
Won't be the last.
I want you to be in my birthing tub.
Are you going to have a birthing tub?
No, but I do want to eat my placenta. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
I'm really, really thinking about it.
Okay.
In a pill form, so don't be, you know.
Oh, I was like, I'm just going to take this baby out.
what?
We're making hamburgers.
I told Corey, I was like, are we just gonna bring a cooler to the hospital and be like, slap that baby in there. We're gonna figure out what to do with
it. Could you imagine just pushing it out of your body and then putting it on ice for you to like grill up for 4th of July?
Oh, yeah, because I'm gonna.
Or Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's a more realistic holiday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Halloween. I feel like that's.
Well, we don't know that she's gonna be here by then.
Okay. They see the other as good and dependable, and that is often more than enough as a basis for an enduring and productive life together. Oh, I feel like I do see you as good and dependable.
I agree.
Uh-oh, but then there's potential trouble sponsor issues. We won't read those.
Well, why not?
Okay, fine.
Okay.
One of the main potential areas for problems between two... My hand just stopped working.
Like, no, we don't need to see this.
Involuntary response by my digits. 2s and 6s has to do with control and autonomy between being too close and being too far apart. Part of the problem has to do with the lack of confidence of lower functioning 6s. Wow. And their ability to make decisions and be decisive.
Wow, but don't worry. I'll do it.
Thank you. Average 6s tend to feel pressured by all kinds of competing demands on their time and energy. By the 2, by their bosses, by friends, by their church, and even by their country. Oh my fucking God, this is so true.
The country.
I'm feeling so pressured by our country right now. Pressure from all sides can make 6s feel more anxious and emotionally unstable, unable to think clearly or to make decisions easily. They can become doubtful, suspicious, and negative. This is all about me. Yeah. As 6s become more reactive, they are likely to impulsively take almost any action just to relieve their anxieties momentarily. At such time, 2s may begin to offer them more help and advice or to issue orders as a way to empower the 6 to help them through their anxiety. I don't think you do that.
I don't give you orders, do I?
However, 6s usually perceive the 2s' help as intrusive and undermining of their self-confidence. No.
Okay.
And they resent it.
Would you tell me if you did?
I would. Okay, I don't feel that.
So I'm feeling intruded upon.
You're being very undermining of my self-confidence that I don't have. I do have it.
Okay.
It's fucking there. Cycles of anxiety and acting out followed by tearful reunions. What the fuck?
Wait, read that one more time.
Cycles of anxiety and acting out, followed by tearful reunions, followed by needing to be more autonomous on the 6's part, followed by more intrusion on the 2's part.
Oh my God, I'm intrusive as fuck.
can wear the relationship down. I don't. Well, we did have tearful reunions, so that was fucking crazy.
Well, I was intrusive, and then we had.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Tearful reunion.
Oh yeah, we did.
Uh huh.
Wow. The problem is that lower functioning 2s think there is no such thing as too much intimacy since they always want to be closer. However, I think this means like more of like you were trying to be there for me, but like really involved. And I was like, oh, my business.
Yes.
Because I'm going to get punched.
Yes.
Just kidding. Oh. However, 6s are more ambivalent, pushing the 2 away and then pulling them closer. I'm like, stop it. Come here. No, don't, but one more time.
The accuracy. Really, I don't need you, but like, please, like, fucking, I need
you. Can you come over?
Yeah.
The 6's ambivalence and inconsistency drives the 2 crazy and taps into their fears of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
2s will up the ante by trying to help the 6 even more, although 6's experience their help as control and they seek more distance. This is so what happens when we stop talking.
This is really bizarre. Really bizarre.
Wow. This pair can become enmeshed.
I wonder what number was the one that got in the fuck between us.
Oh, yeah.
He's a bad one. Whichever the number that sucks
the
is,
dumb
he's that
number.
One.
He is that
a
one.
A
fucker. Yeah.
If you're a one, I'm so sorry. I only know one other person's ex who's a one, and I hate him. Fuck him. So everyone's a one now that I don't like.
Oh, this said this pair can become enmeshed in a bad child, punishing parent drama that can ultimately be fatal to their... Well, good thing we don't have children. Their child would be fucked up, it's saying.
What luck.
Okay, so that's it. That's all. Wow, that was fucking crazy spot on.
Weirdly accurate for us to have a romantic relationship.
That was way better than the other one. I'm glad that we did that one instead.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like that's more accurate.
Yeah, it was.
That was crazy. What a ride.
That was a ride.
My goodness. You never even asked me about
Mosby. Oh, my God. Tell me about... You even told me to ask you before and I completely forgot.
I told Tierra earlier today, okay? Because here's the thing. I normally will tell Sierra when... I've never said your name so many times. It'll think so quickly. I normally will tell her when my kids go to sleep so she can come over and we can record. And sometimes Ollie will fake us out where he's like quiet in his room for 45 minutes and then all of a sudden he's not asleep.
Yeah.
So that happened today.
So what was he doing in there?
So I don't know. He was probably just like counting. That's what I used to do.
Just having a good time.
He just like count a little bit. So he runs to the door. I don't know why he does this, but he runs to the door and he looks under the door. And
he's so fucking scary.
He just screams, "Mommy!" Okay, and so I go in and he like starts laughing because he's like, "Oh my god, I'm magic trick, mommy
appeared." Her.
Yes, and so he runs to his bed, and I try and tell him he wanted me to lay down with him, but I always tell him like I have to go to work. I love you so much. I will see you in the morning. And he always says, "Mommy kiss." And so I give him a kiss. And then he says, "Mosby kiss." And Sierra was like, "Does he ask for Mosby?"
Because I heard you call. You're like, "Mosby, come here." And he ran right into the room.
Yes. Mosby normally will follow me into Ollie's bedroom because he knows Ollie requests a kiss from Mosby as well. But okay, so what normally happens is I call Mosby. I'm laying next to Ollie. I call Mosby towards me, and then I will, like, pet him. And because Ollie is close enough, he'll also lick Ollie's face.
Yeah.
Well, one day, Ollie decided he's going to play hard to get. And so he, like, curls over and, like, gets far away and nowhere near Mosby. And I can't, like, pull the dog over to him to lick his face. Yeah. So I'm staring at Ollie, who's, like, requesting Mosby to kiss him, and I'm like, do I lick his face right now?
How far do I take this?
Do I just lick his cheek and pretend it was the dog? And I did. I licked his face. And
did he think it was the dog?
I don't think his eyes were closed. He could have. I didn't ask him if he thought it was the dog. But then I just sat there and stared at the wall like I just licked my kid's face pretending to be the dog. And I've never done it since. But one time I did do it. And then I told Shane the other day about it. I was like, "I'm going to let you know a secret." And
he was licked our kid's face.
He's like, "The amount of times I've thought about doing that, I can't even tell you." So I no longer feel crazy.
Oh my god, that is the funniest shit in the world.
When you're trying to get your kid to sleep, you'll do anything.
I listened to We Found Love by Rihanna on actual fucking repeat because Noah liked when you would tap his butt to the beat. So now I'd be like, ba, ba, ba.
That's true.
Seriously, he would go, you would have to put the phone right directly
next
by
to his
ear.
Full blast.
Yes.
Full blast.
I don't know how he has hearing. Because we would be like, and then he'd be like, going to fucking sleep.
So peaceful.
How?
Yeah. The like, bliss.
And then he would scream. That's why he had to put it on full blast. Because he couldn't hear over his own screams. And he would do it at restaurants. And I'd be like, "Oh, he's screaming in a restaurant." So then I have Rihanna.
Could you ask the waitress? I'm sorry. Could you change the song to "We Found Love in a Hopeless Place"?
No, don't worry. I did it on my own. So I would do it on my phone. Yeah. And then it would get like super quiet because he'd be finally eating. And then it'd be like, "Mom."
I'm imagining a flash mob. Imagining? Did I say that? I'm imagining a flash mob at whatever restaurant. You're at Texas
Red
Roadhouse.
Lobster.
Anytime you're talking about a restaurant, you're always at Texas Roadhouse because you worked there for the longest time. That's the only place you are ever.
No. Well,
you live there in my mind.
I live there in my mind too. I dream about it every fucking night. It's awful.
Oh.
You ever have peanut dust under your contact?
What?
Because I have for months.
What?
I went one time because my eye was irritated and I was like, I think I scratched my cornea and there was peanut dust under my contact that was scratching my cornea.
Did they tell you that? Did
yes.
They like, said this is peanut dust?
They said there's like a sharp thing underneath it. And when I looked at it, I was like, that's fucking peanut dust. And I was like, I work at Texas Roadhouse.
What a horrific event. Did you know that someone on one of our TikToks said they collected pistachio shells?
Oh, yeah, that's different. I mean, no judgment, but full judgment.
But also, we're wishing you the best.
And they said bugs got to them, right?
Yeah, there were bugs.
That's not good. Okay. Throw your pistachio
shells.
This has
been a PSA.
Yeah.
Please don't collect peanut shells.
Or
pistachio shells.
Or sunflower seeds.
And keep them all away from your contacts.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the Enneagram episode. I hope it was everything you wished for. And more. Basically, all I'm learning is that the horoscope was pretty fucking accurate.
Yeah.
The Enneagram is pretty fucking accurate. We're trying to make this like personality test thing a series, but in true Ladies and Tangents...
Our
series started out as one episode, and then a year later, we remember that it was supposed to be a series and do another. So
you're welcome.
Well, here's to doing Myers-Briggs in another year.
Yay!
We'll see you next week.
All right.
We're out.
Goodbye.
Tillamook Chocolate Collection ice cream is a total chocolate game changer. We start with unbelievably creamy dark chocolate ice cream. Then we add different chocolate treats, like chocolate cookies, chocolate cake, or chocolate brownies, to make four decadent chocolate flavors. Because sometimes the thing that pairs best with chocolate is more chocolate. Tillamook Chocolate Collection ice cream. Extraordinary dairy.